Well, ladies and gentlemen, the other night I said to Trevor, one of our fabulous listeners who I love talking to, let's talk about cinema. Do you fancy coming in? He's in. Oh, my word. Hello, Trevor.
Hello, Pete.
Trevor, can we ask about who you are?
Of course you can.
Because you're a listener, but who are you?
Okay. So I'm Wirral born and bred. I've always lived on Wirral, apart from 3 years when I was at uni in London and a couple of years when I was working in Birmingham. After uni, I spent about 10 years in the civil service doing various jobs. For instance, disablement resettlement officer in the Department of Employment. After that, I went on to the voluntary sector and I worked for Citizens Advice Bureaus, ending up as managing a service in the court for people who hadn't got legal representation. And I also subsequently spent quite a long time as the sole carer for my elderly father. So that's a bit about me.
Wow, that's interesting. Citizens Advice in particular, because they do a sterling job, don't they? And under a lot of pressure these days.
A lot of pressure, more and more demand for their services, more and more difficulty getting funding. It's very tough.
It's interesting, really interesting that. We've asked you in because we both share a love of movies, but also you talk, don't you? You go and lecture about cinemas.
I've done that, yes, because it's something that's always fascinated me, not just the films, mm-hmm. and I'm big into my movies, but also the buildings, how they work, how they've developed, how they've changed. So all of that interests me.
Now, can you remember your first ever film?
Absolutely.
Oh, right.
Vividly.
Hate you. Hate you. Can't remember mine.
It was at the Phoenix in Wallasey.
Yeah.
And it was a friend's birthday party. I must have been about 9. And it was a friend's birthday party and they decided to take all the children, about 10 of us, to the cinema to see Carry On Nurse. And that was my first film ever, and that was it. I was hooked.
Isn't that amazing? Because now, right now, there's 2 new Carry On films coming out.
Absolutely.
And apparently the writer of one of them is from Runcorn.
I didn't know that.
No,
I knew about the
I.
two films.
Yeah. But isn't that weird?
It's a circle.
Full circle.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be interesting to see what they actually develop the film like, because when you think of it, they got away with everything that was unpolitically correct.
Ooh, didn't
in
they?
Every shape or form.
Yes.
Which, of course, they've done on telly with Till Death Do Us Part and Love Thy Neighbours, things like
yes.
that. They've got away when you look back.
In that era.
Yeah. And then go back even further, you think of radio and Kenneth Horne, Around
oh,
the
goodness,
Horn.
Yes.
There was a programme that the BBC bosses didn't realise how was outrageous.
No, absolutely.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I tell you what just jumped into my mind when you said about going out with the other kids. Something that was a fashion and something that I grew up with, and I don't know why it stopped or finished. The old news theatres.
Oh, goodness.
That ran continually, didn't they? It was
they did.
Yeah.
There were two in Liverpool.
Yeah. Whatever happened to those? Do we know?
Well, we do. I mean, sadly, the audiences fell away. And again, it was television, really. But when I was, I suppose, in my early teens, I used to go regularly to both the Tatler and the JC in Clayton Square. And what I loved most of all were the classic comedies, so Three Stooges, Laurel and Hardy, cartoons, bit of news. But viewing habits changed. People watched news on TV and watched comedy on TV.
Really. I used to get left there when they went shopping.
Ah, yeah.
That was because it was dead handy for that, wasn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, right in the middle of town.
I'd forgotten all about them. Were they all over the country? Was that a thing for Liverpool?
Yeah, no, they were at one time pretty widely spread, Pete, as I understand it. Yeah, they were in other cities too. Yeah.
When did you start getting interested in cinemas themselves?
Okay. I mean, fairly early on, because I was just fascinated by the way they were run, the kind of different personalities of the people who ran them, and the buildings themselves. So it was quite early on. I would think, probably when I was still in my teens, certainly I began becoming interested. Not so much in the technical side. There are people who are fascinated by the kind of projectors they use. and not so much in the architectural side, because there are people who are fascinated by cinema architecture. And some of the old cinemas were really extraordinary buildings in terms of the design and the decor and all of that. But what really interested me were the people, the running of them and how they ran them and the personalities of the people involved, because they were very different often.
See, I've just written down the name, George Cranfield, who was the general manager of the Odeon for years in London Road. What a gentleman. Yeah. He was smart. He was on the ball. He ran his staff military in a military way. He was remarkable. So, yeah, there's one character. Yeah. Charlie O'Neill, who then went to the Empire. But it was a different world, wasn't it?
Because completely.
The most important thing in my life was the Winter Gardens. First the Tudor, but the Winter Gardens. Now, you didn't talk in the film. You got a crack about the head from the girl with the torch.
Funnily enough, that was a fairly early cinema trip of mine to Hoylake Winter Gardens. And the manager was an elderly guy. And my dad took me on this particular occasion, and we were sitting watching the film, and suddenly there was a bit of a sort of row behind, and it turned out it was the manager telling two lads to get your feet off my seats.
Yep.
And that was how they did it. Nowadays, of course, in general, there aren't staff in the screens.
No. Are you aware that in the Winter Gardens there was only one love seat, which was a double seat?
I didn't know that.
One, and there was murders trying to get to it. There was just one in the back. And that walk from the bus stop,
long way, in
the Market Road, Market Street down, seemed, when I was a little boy, forever.
It was a long road.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the Saturday morning rush. Now, that was a thing that's changed, hasn't it? Because that was a huge industry.
It was.
Tell us about that.
Almost every cinema for a long time had either Saturday morning shows or some cinemas Saturday afternoon shows. And they were very big. And although I didn't go to Saturday morning shows. I think it was my mum and dad being a bit overprotective and thinking a bit rough for me. So I didn't go. But I've read a lot about it, and they were really big. I mean, you have thousands of kids at some of the very large cinemas.
Yeah, we had tremendous, and it was always, when we'd left, the raincoat was fastened top button, and you
Hobble on Casty.
Yeah. We just rode
acting,
back.
Acting out the Western or whatever.
Everybody did it. Yeah, but you know what? It's funny that the Winter Gardens showed up, well, I described it as a horror film on a Saturday morning, and it put me off horror films for the rest of my life. And it was, and it's weird how this happened, because I would be about 10. It was a film, a black and white, and the guy comes from underneath the lamp, and his face was a spider. And I've always hated spiders.
Right.
And I never went to horror movies after. I've never seen The Exodus.
Exorcist.
The Exorcist. I've missed the whole genre.
Because of that early experience.
Because of that once experience.
I mean, people did all kinds of research into that, sociologists and psychologists, and there are photographs of the faces of children at Saturday morning shows and their reaction to different kinds of scenes. Mm-hmm. And on young children, that would make a very big impact.
Well, it did to me, without any shadow of a doubt. The Tudor Cinema's an interesting place because it's still there.
It is.
My mum's shop was over the bridge. That's where we lived. And then our first house was in Darman's Green. But when I first went to the Tudor, it wasn't a cinema. The Royal Ballet was on.
Right,
and they had a rep company that, which is coming back, by the way. You know,
the everyman
are doing it, you know. And the Royal Court have used the same sort of group of actors.
They have.
Did you find it fascinating, the Tudor, when you looked into cinemas?
I do. I mean, and there are a number of cinemas that developed from theatres. I mean, one I would particularly remember on this side of the river, and people out there will, I think, the Hippodrome up in West Derby Road, which was a theatre converted into a cinema, I think, in the 30s, but originally a theatre. And it was all still there. the three levels up to the gods and so on, but being used as a cinema. And lots of cinemas had kind of live theatre origins. And I remember going to see Gilbert and Sullivan at the Winter Gardens in Hoylake because the local Gilbert and Sullivan Society put on.
And it was a tiny
there.
Cinema. The,
it
the,
was.
The, but, and I'd forgotten all about it, the Kingsway?
Oh, in Hoylake. A bit before my cinema going time, that was.
Huge.
Yes.
Because I went to Hoylake Parade School. We had our assemblies there.
Yes.
And I got caned because I sang Where'er You Walk. And purposely, instead of singing Trees Where You Sit, I used the other word. And I was the hero of the school, but got caned for it.
Those were the days.
But that was a huge cinema. Yes. I mean, twice the size of the Winter Gardens.
Yes. I can think of a number of large cinemas. The Asoldo in Birkenhead was very large cinema. The Plaza in Birkenhead, another enormous cinema, would seat up to 2,000, I would have thought.
How many was there in Liverpool altogether? Any idea?
Well, as it happens, I looked back recently at an old paper, and at the time I started seriously going to the cinema in the early 60s, there were about 40 cinemas in Liverpool still open, and on the Wirral, almost 20. I mean, there'd been a big fall-off. A lot of closures in the 50s as television developed. But even into the early mid-60s, 40 cinemas in Liverpool, as I say, almost 20 on the Wirral.
As we're sitting here now, just round the corner, it's the Futurist. What's going on there?
Well, I have to tell you, I don't know precisely. I do know that there are a lot of people who would like in some way to preserve the front of the building, the facade, they call it. And that would be nice, but I understand there are technical issues with that, and there's been scaffolding and all of that because the building has been empty for so long it became unsafe. So personally, I'd love to see at least the front of the building preserved, but I'm not sure it's going to be possible to do that.
I saw All the President's Men there. Always remember that.
Right.
Always. Yes. Didn't want to see it. Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman didn't want to see it and was hooked. Absolutely hooked on it. That was the last, I think it was the last film I saw there. It was interesting, and we're going to talk about your movies, and I'm talking to Trevor about the world of the cinema. Have you ever wanted to be a film critic? Or have you ever done it?
No, I haven't. I did at one time want to be a cinema manager. But my career went in other directions. But I got as far as going for an interview with Classic Cinemas in London. And I kind of almost went down that way because I fancied that. I thought this is something I would enjoy doing, but it didn't happen.
I started reviewing films for a while, but not cleverly, just reviewing. And they would have press calls once a week for the films. And Joe Riley and Phil from the Daily Post would always do the film critic. And very few people would go. Yes. It was only a couple of people.
Yes.
And then they showed Jaws, and there was 300 people turned up that day to see the press show. Papers didn't, you know.
Where did they come from?
Yeah. What are your views on film critics?
I read film critics and I listen to film critics and then I reach my own opinion. Some of them seem unduly negative to me and some of them I have a fair difference of opinion with, really, Pete. I think they're useful, but more and more people make up their own mind.
Yeah, I know that when Barry Norman was going, if he didn't like a film, I knew I would love it. Every single time I would love it. Because it is weird, isn't it? It's a personal taste.
It's very personal.
The movie business has come back again in a huge way. We saw decline, was it the 50s, you say?
The 50s was really the big decline. And then there was a slow, slow decline during the 60s and 70s. Yeah. And then eventually, partly by dividing existing cinemas into smaller screens, and then later on, I guess it'd probably be into the 80s, building new multiplex cinemas.
Simple as that, yeah. Now, let's talk about the days of the twinning. What was that all about?
Absolutely. Well, cinema owners decided that there wasn't a big enough audience for the vast majority of films to fill old-style cinemas. So if I talk about one, for instance, and I've got a little story I'll tell you just before that era. I used to go to the Gaumont, which became the Classic in Wallasey, on a regular basis. And one day I turned up for a double bill in the afternoon. I would only be in my mid-teens. And the manager was standing on the steps, looking up and down the road. And there were about a dozen people waiting to go in. And he said, "I'm sorry, I can't open the cinema." He said, the regulations say I've got to have somebody in the auditorium. And obviously, if I'm at the cash desk, I can't be in the auditorium. So I'm sorry, I can't open. And he kept looking up down the road for the usherette who hadn't turned up. And then he said, "Is there anyone who'd be prepared to act as a member of staff for this afternoon if I let them in as a complimentary?" So, of course, you know, cinema buff, step forward. And there I was. I handed over the torch, the spike to put the tickets on.
The what?
The spike to put the tickets
on. I forgot all about that.
the funny thing was, he said, "I'm sorry about this, but you've got to be identifiable in some way as a member of cinema staff." He said, "Obviously you can't put the usherette's uniform on," he said, "and the only thing I've got that could identify you is an armband which said, 'Louis Lyons Classic Junior Club Monitor.'"
Oh, wow. How old were you?
I was about 15 or 16, I think.
Never told your pals, did you?
No. But I did enjoy tearing the tickets and flashing the torch around. But sorry, I went off slightly to tangent.
No,
there.
That's a lovely story. I'd forgotten about the tickets.
Yeah.
And because, of course, that's how they checked how many people were in. Because,
yeah,
of course, let's not forget, and we certainly did it at the Winter Gardens, the bunking in, somebody would open the door to let people in, and there was chaos.
Well, I tell you, it was rife at that particular cinema as well.
Right.
And it got so bad that at one stage there were more people getting in that way than were coming in the front way past the box office. Yeah. And the manager called in the police. And one day I was there and I noticed, I mean, you couldn't avoid noticing, about 15, 20 people, teenagers probably, coming in through the emergency exit, sitting down at the front of the cinema. The manager comes down, demands to see the tickets of these people, which I knew they hadn't got one, of course, and they legged it. And just as they went out, the way they'd come in, a phalanx of police waiting to arrest them. But it was rife. There was a lot of that went on, it must be said.
I'm talking to Trevor about the world of cinema, which is fascinating. And Trevor, of course, is one of our listeners, and we have long conversations at least once a week, and this is fascinating. Trevor's come into the studio. We invited him in. It's just fascinating. Cinema's gone full circle now, and we've now got individual independent cinemas again, which is great. Two we'll talk about is New Brighton and Fact.
Yes.
It's a different world, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. So we moved on from the period when they were dividing cinemas. We moved through the new build multiplexes, and then we moved on, as you say, to some independent people coming in. And I was absolutely delighted when Fact, and indeed the Light at New Brighton, opened, but Fact for me in particular, because for many years I had to travel over to Manchester if I wanted to see an independent film, foreign films, which I was into. Couldn't see them in Liverpool, except for a while at the Merseyside Film Institute at the Blue Coat, a sort of society that showed films. But when Fact came along, that for me was wonderful, because here on my doorstep is the opportunity to see a wider range of films.
Let me stop you there. And for people who haven't been to Fact, and it's been there for a long time now, explain why it's so good. Explain the experience.
I mean, I think what's good about it is that partly the audiences, because the people who go there are film enthusiasts And you can almost, I wouldn't say every time, but almost guarantee they will sit and watch the film without chatting, without texting on their mobile phones,
without eating,
all of that. So there's that part of it. There's the fact that they have a bar and a separate cafe area. They're a gallery as well, but that not particularly for me, but they're a gallery as well. That the cinemas are comfortable. It's a great place to see films. And for my particular tastes, it's far and away the best place. But in terms of seeing generally released films, the light at New Brighton is excellent as well.
I believe the seating there is marvellous.
Very comfortable.
As it is, in fact.
Very comfortable. And again, the staff there are very pleasant. Both those cinemas. And it's a bit different. I know you go to the View in Cheshire Oaks, yeah, and the staff there are good and so on. But for me, the light and the fact are where I most go to the cinema now, Pete.
I tell you why I like the View. I go to the very late ones, which, because I'm a late person. Yeah. And I find what you've just said, we've got people that go for the movies, not for the food, not for the talking, not for that. They go for the movies. So I know in the late ones, 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, those are the ones that you've got a damn good chance of watching. So that's the logic behind me going there. Because I went to the Odeons for years when George Cranfield was there. In fact, I used to run, when I was in early radio days, I used to run Sunday mornings on new movies. And I always remember Sleepless in Seattle is the big one. They were queuing to get in. And I had to shake the hand of everyone as they left. And I remember in that one, there was about 600 in the audience. And I could hear them all crying. I went, stop crying. And they all booed me. it was just a great experience.
Ever the showman.
Yeah. But I used to love the Odeon. Yes. And I tell you what's amazing about cinemas these days is the costs are quite astronomical, aren't they? Of the food, of the whole experience.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm told that cinemas make more of their money from the add-ons like food and drinks than they do from people going to see the films. And I can believe that. I mean, cinema going these days is quite expensive. When I was at uni in London, I went to a rundown cinema in the centre of London near Euston Station. Very rough.
Yeah.
But it cost half a crown to go in.
Yeah.
If I go to the cinema now, okay, I've got my senior concession, but you're talking anything up to 10 quid to go to the cinema. That's expensive. But if you're a family and you add in the costs of drinks and ice creams and popcorn and whatever, it's an enormously expensive.
Talking about independence, I forgot, and I'm sorry, I apologise to the people out there if they're listening. Crosby and also Woolton. Now, is Woolton still going?
Woolton is still going. Sadly, they've dropped their senior matinee, which I'm disappointed about because I used to go to those. Right. And it's a long way for me to go in the evening because I rely on public transport.
Right.
But yes, they're still going and all power to their elbow.
And Crosby?
And Crosby, as far as I know, is still going and still run by a trust. And they did an extraordinary job to save that cinema. They have my complete admiration. Really tough. They had to struggle and fundraise and persuade people to sell and all of that. They did a remarkable job.
There's a lot of pirate cinema out there, as in for, but you just can't beat the big screen, can you?
No. I mean, I was going to say, I do watch films on telly, I do watch DVDs, and I know there are a lot of pirated copies of movies out there as well, but there is nothing that will ever beat seeing a film on the big screen, as far as I'm concerned.
There are certain films that go to telly that are like All the President's Men. You could watch that on telly.
Yes.
You don't need. Yeah. But you think of Jungle Book. You couldn't watch it anywhere else. I think one of the most exciting things these days in cinema for me is 3D. Because I remember the first 3D with those ridiculous paper glasses with the green and red. They were horrendous. There was nothing 3D about them at all. But now, the experience. But you have to buy the glasses.
You do. And that all adds to the cost. I mean, there have been various attempts at technology over the years. There were the early 3D, which was awful. There were things like special sound effects for films about earthquakes. There were horror films where they arranged for a skeleton on a rope to come down into the audience, all that kind of thing. But now, I must admit, I'm not a huge 3D fan. I tend to prefer the old style. But when I have seen 3D films, they are impressive.
Have you been to IMAX?
I have been to IMAX once.
How do you find that?
It's an amazing experience. I mean, I went to see a film about Everest, a documentary.
Oh, yes.
About Everest. Yeah. And that was terrific. But if I'm watching an ordinary film, I'm more than happy with the standard size screen, personally. You know, there are some things I can see would show very well there. But for most films, I'm happy with the standard size.
What's your views on films these days? Are they getting better or are they churning stuff out?
I think they are churning stuff out to some degree. I mean, I'm not into all the franchises of endless films. Of
1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 12.
I know. Not me. But then I don't like kind of Marvel comic book heroes type films. That's just not for me. But, I mean, there are still very good films out there. There are still independent films out there. I would say there's still something for everyone, but sometimes they have to look harder to find it.
Can you believe the cost of films?
It's quite staggering, the amount of money they have to make to recoup the cost of making films. And, the amount films cost is extraordinary.
Have you ever heard me talk about my evenings when I watch movies with Bob Monkhouse?
No, I don't think I have
this. I'll describe this to you, because you'll love this, because this fits into what we're doing. He was a film buff, had one of the biggest collections of silent movies in the world.
I knew that.
And if you remember, went to court about
it. Yes, absolutely.
And was found completely not guilty. Yes. Completely. I would go to Barbados. We would have dinner. We would be drinking champagne and nice wines. We then sat down, because his wife was very spot on, you had to do what you were told. We would then change from those beautiful crystal glasses to plastic glasses in case we broke them.
Yes.
His seat was in front of this big screen, and this was a while ago, so big screens weren't the norm. He had people filming and videoing stuff for him from all over the world. His collections were ridiculous, ridiculous. He would have a stack of books on both sides of his seat. Jackie would sit, his wife, on one side. I would sit on the other side, and they would sit down with the drink, and she would say, and just picture this, "Bob, what are we watching tonight?" "Well, I'm not too sure, my love." And he never lost his temper with her. "Am I going to like it?" "Well, we don't know until we see it, do you?" I just sat there. "Now, is this going to be... Does he die?" "Well, we don't know. We haven't switched it on yet, my love." So that was that. Then he would stop the film and go, just, I'm sorry about this, Peter. "I'm sure the left grip on the third, I'm sure that was Don. That was my book." "Oh, it's Don. You remember Don? Don did the film with these." So we never watched the film. We just, and luckily they went to bed early. And when they went to bed early, I watched the film. But that was the pattern every night. But these, because he was such a film buff, he had to talk about it and discuss it. She got bored easily. So we many times we had the film taken off and put something else on. "Does he die?" "Well, we don't know, darling. Jackie..." But it was an experience. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful. And I have to say, I've got a big library of film reference books, as you might imagine. And I haven't told you yet about my all-time favourite film.
I haven't asked you yet. I was going to ask about, first of all, your top five. So we'll start from the bottom. Yeah, I'll put you on the spot.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my word. OK. So I would certainly have Casablanca in there.
Wow.
I would certainly have a French film called Au revoir les enfants, Goodbye Children, about a school in France that took in Jewish refugees during the Nazi occupation, based on the director's own experience. Remarkable film, Au revoir les enfants. I'd probably have to have a blockbuster there. So I might have Lawrence of Arabia, which in terms of cinema is an extraordinary watch, and David Lean, such a talented director. Now, what would I have at number two? You really have put me on the spot. What would I have at number two? let's go for something with Maggie Smith, because I love Maggie Smith.
Have you seen The Van yet?
I have. Lady in the Van, terrific.
She camp. She's just outrageous in it. What made her do it?
I don't know. But she's extraordinary.
Tremendous.
But the first Maggie Smith film I saw was when I was at uni in London. It was on double bill with MASH, and it was called The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie.
Yep, fabulous film.
And I'd put that at number two.
Now, don't tell us number one. We'll save that. Let's go back. Okay. We have one that which I would put in my top five, we share. Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes.
When Peter O'Toole's version of that film was just breathtaking, way he played that part. The two bits that stayed in my mind were, one, when he brings the boy in who's brought him through the desert to have two glasses of lemonade. I have never seen a piece of acting like that. And the other was when, after he'd been raped, and he turned against the Turks, and he was standing on top of the train and went, "No prisoners." That's how much that meant to me. And of course, the first time I'd ever seen Omar Sharif.
Yes. No, it was an extraordinary film. The acting was terrific. The cinematography, the whole span of the thing, the desert and all of that. I mean, it was perfect, really. It was a top, top movie.
What was your number one?
If.
Oh.
Do you know the film?
Yes.
I first saw that when I was 17 or 18.
Explain what it was about.
It was set in a public school, and it was about repression, really, of pupils by staff and older boys. It was about bullying, and ultimately it was about revolution and a controversial ending involving a gang effectively machine gunning some of the people at a special service that was being held at the college.
Why do you feel that was such an important movie for you?
It was a game changer for me for two reasons. One, for many years I'd been into particularly British comedies and westerns. I mean, even through my teens, that was really what I most liked. And here was a film that was very, very different, that was a stark drama. And it started a change in my view of cinema, really, as much as that. And whilst the school I went to was not comparable with the school in the film If, it was, however, in some ways, somewhat repressive. And certainly there was some bullying.
Which schools were years ago? I mean, I'm older than you, but schools were sort of generation-ish. And schools were, weren't they?
They were.
Canings were...
All of that.
The norm, everything.
All of that. Yeah. And the real highlight in many ways was that I very briefly, and I mean very briefly, I'm talking about 30 seconds, met Malcolm McDowell, the star of If, when he came to Bradford to do a lecture at the Bradford Film Festival. And back at home, I've got the script of If, not one of the original film scripts, but a published script of If, which he signed for me. And I absolutely treasure that.
He was a strange actor, wasn't he? He was one of the... I will use the word method actor, but I don't like the word method because there's no such thing as method, in my opinion. But he went in different directions, didn't he?
He did.
He loved challenges of films.
Oh, he did. But, I mean, his performance in what was his first major film was quite remarkable because he went on to do Clockwork Orange and loads of other stuff.
Difficult film for me to watch.
Very difficult film to watch. But no, If will always be my number one. It just resonated with me at the age I first saw it, and I've seen it many times since, and it's still, I think, an extraordinary piece of filmmaking.
But isn't it amazing how films are like art? We all have our own taste.
We do.
We can all enjoy something, but we all... I wouldn't buy that, but I'd buy that. And I always remember just going off on a tangent, going to the Tate Gallery, the new Tate down at the bottom of the Albert Dock, and they asked us, which I thought was quite a clever idea, different people in city, to have a look at a piece of art, and we'll put a plaque on the wall saying what you think of
it. Right.
And I went, well, I don't really... I like that one over there. And they put an arrow pointing to that one over there. The point I'm making is films are like that, aren't they? There are films that you think, what is that about? Or and you say, well, I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, we talked about one recently, the about the opera singer.
Yes.
A lot of my friends didn't like it, but the critics are raved about it and you raved about it.
I loved it, yes. No, you're absolutely right. Films are such an individual thing that you will get such a different range of reactions to them. And that's part of why they're good, I think.
Do you like the old movies more than the new ones?
On balance, yes. I mean, there are a lot of good movies out there. If it hadn't been for you recommending it, I wouldn't have seen Eye in the Sky, because I'd seen the trailer and it just kind of came over to me of a succession of people sitting round screens. And then when I went to see the film...
Yeah.
It was quite different from what I expected. Totally gripping.
Yeah.
And a really
irritatingly
good film.
Gripping.
Oh, yes. So, I mean, there were a couple of characters in there.
And you're going, will somebody make a decision, please? Please make a decision.
I know. You wanted to slap some of the politicians and political advisors. Yeah.
Do you know what? You just mentioned then trailers. If I miss the trailers, my night's spoiled.
I absolutely love trailers. And at one point, I found a cinema that was showing simply a collection of trailers.
Really?
And I was in my element. I mean, just for as a one-off, they'd assembled about 40 trailers and just showed them one after another. And I just love all of that. I think they're absolutely terrific. Personally, I liked the older style where... letters were splashed across the screen, tremendous, colossal, gigantic, and they're different now. But, I mean, of course, they're still interesting and still valid. But, no, I love trailers.
I'm talking to Trevor. We're talking movies. One of my favourite films in the world might shock you. I wonder if you've seen it. Death in Venice with Dirk Bogarde. I don't know why. First of all, it was beautifully filmed. It beautifully filmed about Venice and a very tortured soul who was a composer and writer. The music was spectacular. The young boy that was featured in it, who was at the time described as the most beautiful boy in the world, I actually tracked him down to interview him.
Goodness,
he was
me.
In a pop group
Goodness,
years
mate.
Later in Sweden. And to this day, I don't know why. I can't... I mean, I'm surprised that you picked If. It's weird, isn't it? It's this personal taste again.
Very much personal taste. I've seen Death in Venice, but I have to say it was a long time ago. But I certainly remember the music. I thought Dirk Bogarde was excellent. I thought the photography was extraordinary. Yeah. Excuse me. And it built up a sense of atmosphere. And it was. No, I thought I'm agree with you. I think it was a very, very good film.
Which direction do you think films are going in these days?
They're going, if anything, in a direction of a lot of action and a lot of noise in terms of a lot of the blockbusters that are out there. But the pleasing thing is there are still films out there, I think, for everybody. There are films for family audiences. There are films for adult audiences who want to think about what they're seeing. And there are films for people who want... that kind of violent smash-bang entertainment. There are still films for all tastes, so that's got to be good.
Do you enjoy these talks you give?
I do. I mean, I've
done...
What
made you start it?
I mean, it's really particularly because I joined the Prenton Literary and Debating Society. And over the years, I've done, I guess, about a dozen now, something approaching that, of talks on various subjects. Occasionally I've given talks to other people as well. But I do enjoy doing that, although I'm naturally quite a shy person. If a subject really interests me and I want to feel I can try and communicate it to other people and they seem to enjoy what they hear, then that's really good. So I did one, for instance, on John Le Messurier and Arthur Lowe because I was a huge Dad's Army fan.
You haven't seen the new movie, I presume?
I have.
Did you enjoy it? Or were you disappointed?
I was slightly disappointed, but then it was never never going to replicate the original chemistry between the cast. But they made a good job of it. And it was nice to see Frank Williams, who's still around, who played the vicar, popping up in a very brief cameo.
Interesting, you just mentioned the magical word then, chemistry. That is so important in a film. Because that is such a big screen in front of you, it's going to come straight at you.
Absolutely.
Chemistry doesn't work, forget it.
No, absolutely. It's a vital, vital part of films.
I don't tend to watch movies twice. I've always been like that. The only ones I can watch over and over again, like you did with If, were the Godfather trilogy.
Exceptional films.
I could not believe Brando, Pacino, and it never dates to me.
No, I agree with that. And they were remarkable films, and again demonstrated some of the very best acting, no question about it.
Where do musicals fit into your life, if they do?
They've never really... I mean, there have been certain musicals that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed Sound of Music, to be fair. I really enjoyed My Fair Lady. But I'm not hugely into musicals, to be frank, Pete. Not strongly so.
Sound of Music, South Pacific, Funny Girl and My Fair Lady, my top ones. South Pacific I watched at the Odeon Cinema in London Road because it was this new Technicolor and when they had Bally High, I must call you, the screen kept changing colour. I must have seen that 30 times. Sound of Music I must have seen 100 times. I just...
Curiously, I've never seen the film of South Pacific. I saw it on stage once, but I've never seen the film. I must try and look that out, don't
I? It was in its day because the way they'd film cinematography was quite amazing. Now, horror movies, that is a complete and utter blank to me. The only one I've ever seen that I enjoyed was Interview with the Vampires.
Oh, yes.
Which had a cluster of big stars in it, and I actually quite enjoyed that, but still winced. Are you a horror fan?
I like horror films, but I prefer atmospheric horror films to horror films that are full of gore, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So
leave you thinking.
Yeah. So I've seen a number that fall into that category. And as you get old, you struggle sometimes to remember titles. But one that comes to me was called Night of the Demon. And originally, the director, a very well-known director, wanted not to show the monster at all. He wanted to leave it in people's imaginations. And the producers of the film would not let him. They said, the public will not come and see this unless you put a monster in. So much against his wishes, it ended up with a monster in it. But 95% of it was building up atmosphere in a remarkable way, and it's a classic of its kind.
It's interesting you say that, getting away from horror for a minute. You don't have to see gore. You don't have to see the monster. And what always stays with me, and I will never forget it as long as I live, and it was a very painful film to watch, which was The Killing Fields.
Oh, yes.
There's a man who steps on a bomb with his child, a little girl, but you don't see anything.
No.
You just know he's going to walk on it, and you don't even hear a scream. You just hear, poof.
Yeah.
That's all it needed.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all it needed.
Yeah.
And that stayed with me. So if that stayed with me,
that's
a piece of filmmaking, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think the most skilled directors probably don't need the blood and gore in almost all cases, Pete.
What makes a good director for you?
They've got to work well with the rest of the crew. They've got to work well with their photographer and cinematographer. They've got to know and understand actors and work with them, even when actors are sometimes difficult. And they've got to have an imagination of how to bring something to the screen in a way that will hold audiences.
Could you imagine life without films?
I could not at all imagine life without films. They've been really a crucial part of my life. I couldn't imagine being without them.
Do you realise, well, I'm cut, you do, that a lot of people don't. You realise the amount of work that goes into films. People don't, do they? They just have no idea, no conception.
No, a lot of people go and watch a film, don't think about the effort that's gone into it at all, and just kind of expected it to be provided and think, well, there it is, they've done their job, they've made the film. But no, there's an awful lot of effort that goes into filmmaking.
Was there a movie that you were waiting and couldn't wait to see and was incredibly disappointed?
There was one, and I'm probably going to forget the title, but I think it was called The Great Beauty, and it was an Italian film that all the critics, and I'm not even sure it mightn't have got a foreign language Oscar, but all the critics raved about it unanimously, and it was almost 3 hours long, and I sat there, and I was bored.
Yeah.
And that very rarely happens to me with a film. I thought, what on earth did people see in it?
Trevor, it's interesting you say 3 hours long. If a film's good, I have no problem with the length of film. A lot of people do. I don't have a problem with that because I don't want it to end.
No, no, I don't either. I mean, I see films that I think that's too long.
Yeah. That could have taken 20 minutes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But if it takes three and a half hours to tell a story and it's well done, then I don't have a problem with it either. Absolutely not.
What do you do when you're in a cinema and you've got a talker or somebody on the phone? Are you a complainer?
I'm afraid I'm not. I'm a bit of a wimp, really. I have once or twice leaned over and very politely asked somebody if they could quiet them down because they were disturbing people. Another story if you time, but I used to go to the ABC Wallasey. And
which was on the roundabout.
It was. And the manager was a bit of a film buff. And he booked a series of one-day showings of films on Wednesday that hadn't been shown anywhere else on Merseyside. And he used to quite often come in and see the film himself because he was interested in the films he booked. And on this particular day, I was in the stalls, he was in the stalls, and there was a woman chundering away. I think, sadly, she was possibly a little mentally disturbed or something, but she was on her own. She was chundering away. And the manager went like this. Well, you can't see it on radio, can you? He beckoned over the usherette, and he was near to me, the manager, so I heard what he said. He said, go and tell that woman to be quiet. And off the usherette went to tell her to be quiet.
My favourite story was I was in South Africa working and we went to the premiere of Players, which was a movie about tennis.
Oh, right.
And I think, and I probably got this wrong, but I think it was Dean Martin's son was in it, or somebody famous's son. And there's two lovely Jewish ladies in front. And Jewish ladies, I'm sorry, girls, tend to be louder than Christian ladies, you know. Anyway, one saying, I think it's him. But you know when they whisper?
Yes.
It was one of those loud whispers. And, no, it's him. Shh. And it was him. So me being me, ran to the bottom of the cinema, it was full, and went, excuse me! It's him! And everybody applauded me. Everybody applauded me. And we got home with the film. And they never another beep out of them. Not a beep. Now, here's an experience that you won't have experienced. You've not been to Thailand, have you?
I have not.
Right. Well, if you remember when we were both younger, we would stand to the national anthem.
Oh, yes.
Well, in Thailand, you have to stand to the national anthem and it's played when you're all in. And it's about 17 minutes long. It's one of those that goes on forever. But in Thailand, they text each other from seat to seat.
Oh, goodness.
What are you... You're watching this? And they're texting each other about the film. Oh, it's the most... You've no idea. You have no idea how irritating
it is. I was going to say, that would drive me bananas.
Absolutely. Yeah. Trevor, I cannot thank you enough for coming in. I think it's been a fascinating journey. We've got to do this again. And I think it's been great. I think long live cinemas.
Absolutely. No, I've really loved it. And I have got a few more anecdotes tucked away that we haven't
got to. Save them. We'll do this again.